And now to another big national security story this week, a rebuke from the president's own party in the Senate. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell ushered through a bipartisan amendment yesterday that says the president's troop drawdown in Syria and Afghanistan will put hard-won national security gains at risk. McConnell is one of the president's most loyal supporters, but the issue of national security has put a wedge between the White House and many Republicans. Let's bring in Congressman Michael Waltz. He's a Republican from Florida. He served in Afghanistan as a Green Beret. Congressman, welcome.
Well, thanks so much.
This resolution in the Senate is non-binding, but do you support the statement that your colleagues in the Senate are making?
Well, you know, in addition to serving over there as a Green Beret in Afghanistan, I also worked the issue from the Bush White House with Vice President Cheney and then also in the Pentagon. So I've kind of seen this war from all different angles, and I certainly share their concerns. Look, I understand that there is a lot of frustration out there of how long we've been there, you know, too hard, too long, too expensive, where's it going? And at some point, we do need to drive towards some type of negotiated peace agreement. However, I don't know that now is the time. We need to negotiate from a position of strength. And what really struck me in the statements about this current round is that we are essentially, the Taliban have essentially said, trust us. We'll keep Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other terrorist groups from launching attacks on the West again from Afghanistan. Now, that's kind of like the Russians saying, trust us, we won't build nukes. I have a lot of concerns about the verification. How do you verify that? My first thought is, well, you verify by keeping a counterterrorism presence on the ground so that if the Taliban can't or won't stop Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and terrorist groups from launching, then we can take matters back in our own hand. We also have to continue to build the Afghan army's capacity to eventually do this on their own. And, those missions are what we currently have forces there for now. So it's the withdrawal that really has me concerned.
And you served in Afghanistan. You were fighting against the Taliban. Do you think the United States government made a mistake bringing them to the negotiating table?
Well, again, I think it's about timing. And I think it's about what position we are in and what position, importantly, the Afghan government is in when we do bring them to the table. They need to be in a position of weakness. They don't believe they are right now. We also have the issue of Pakistan, who has not backed away from material support to the Taliban. And then you have the Afghan government has not really been at the table. President Ghani, the president of Afghanistan, recently said he thought his military would collapse and the country would collapse within 6 months of a U.S. withdrawal. So if we're in the midst of talks, fine. I have concerns about the timing and the framework here. But the talk of complete withdrawal, well, look, why is this so important to the American people? Population of Iraq, 25 million. Population of Afghanistan, 30 million. Population of Pakistan, 210 million with nukes. And as Afghanistan goes, Pakistan will go, much less attacks on the United States emanating again. Remember, Afghanistan's where the 9/11 attacks emanated from. And not only do you now have Al-Qaeda, you have ISIS as well. And I don't think the Taliban can control either one.
Do you share concerns that many others have that the Taliban will rush into power if the U.S. troops withdraw, and then they will repress the people?
Oh, absolutely. No, we've made huge gains in the last 15 years in girls' education and women's empowerment and sowing the seeds of democracy, but it is going to take a long time. And I think the investment that—look, we can debate this all day long, but I really don't think we have a choice. The United States must lead, and we must keep our foot on the neck of these terrorist groups. There is a reason we haven't had any major attacks in the last few years, and that's because if these groups are on the run, they can't plot, plan, and train and attack the United States. So we need to stay on offense, and we can fight these wars in Kabul and in places like Damascus, or we can fight them in places like Kansas City. I prefer the former.
I want to shift gears and ask you about the president's relationship with some of his top intelligence advisors. Were you concerned this week when President Trump appeared to ridicule some of his top advisors when they went before the Senate committee and contradicted the president's stance on issues like Iran ISIS in North Korea? Did that concern you?
Well, you know, let's take a step backwards. So first of all, the contentious relationships between commanders-in-chief and the intelligence community are not new. We saw it in the Obama administration with Afghanistan. We saw it in the Bush administration with Iran and where they were. Remember, I worked for Vice President Cheney, and he certainly didn't always agree. The intelligence assessments aren't always right. Remember George Tenet with the slam dunk comment about WMD in Iraq. So that contentious relationship can exist. Remember, intelligence are a series of best guesses. That said, what I don't like is we don't air that kind of dirty laundry for the Chinese, the Russians, the terrorists, and everyone else to see. So that's the part that really has me concerned.
Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida's 6th Congressional District. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.